Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. My name is Rosh, and I'm here with my co-host, Brian Scott. What are your topics for today, Brian?
Hey, Rosh. Good morning. We're going to talk about how to post with a purpose, namely on Facebook and Instagram. I have a thought-provoking quote on AI that I want to peel back with you a bit, and then I got a hidden question for you. I'm not telling you that one yet.
Okay, very good.
What do you have going on?
Yeah. So for me, I want to talk about Google Search Labs, which I'm now connected to for a little while, and what's going on with that. I want to talk about SEO, just some practical ideas that people can use right now that still work, are working, and I'm implementing. And lastly, I have a question for you. It's kind of related to one of your topics, but I think we'll go a little bit deeper or very specific to my question. So why don't we begin with your first topic?
Awesome. Yeah. So as a social media management company, we have been really trying to break the mold of our box of how we post on platforms. So, you know, we've been at this for a while, and for years and years on Facebook and Instagram, you traditionally make a post and you post it. And then all of a sudden, stories started popping up and reels, and then people are posting carousels, and there's all these different post types. So I want to just peel back the layers a little bit of how to post with a purpose and demystify a bit of, you know, how to use these different directions on these platforms most effectively. You know, obviously any of these different ways, these posts can be boosted to get in front of different audiences, but I'm going to really be talking today about organically how these platforms are set up to share this content for the companies the right way. So namely, you know, speaking of the creative entrepreneur, you know, I'll do a quick shameless plug. My band has our first gig in 4 years. And nice. Lucky for me, yeah, we're going to be playing in about a month, and I'm actually in the driver's seat of being a creative entrepreneur trying to promote my band, you know, natively on Facebook and Instagram. And it's nice to be in that other seat instead of, you know, on the managing side of it. And so I found this really good chart of about, you know, what the different purposes are for and how they get delivered, or what the different ways of posting on these platforms are.
Sure.
And how they get
the intent of the post.
Exactly. Yeah. So from the top of the pile, most popular these days has been Reels, because why? Facebook and Instagram and Meta, they wanted to catch that fire of TikTok and yep. share that content in that kind of way. And it really is optimized to get shared to new people. That's where you're going to find organic growth, is by posting Reels properly, you know, being clever with your video editing, making sure it's vertical, using the right. This is where, you know, sometimes those hashtags do come in, and your keywords. But this is how where you're going to want to post your content to attract new followers. So really the informational, you know, I recently was fortunate enough to sign a company in based out of Detroit here with your help, Rosh, where we're going to be pushing out, you know, their very high end audio equipment. So this is really where we want to push, you know, to get the new followers. On the other side of that, stories only get to delivered to the people who follow your page. So this is where
I didn't realize that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So when you pop up, the only stories you're going to see are either paid ads or people you follow. So this is how you get to your followers. What's cool about this is you've already built trust with these people. This is your automatic next step down the funnel. You already have an engaged audience with your stories. So this is where you build your community further, or you make your sales. Right. This is where you could put a link right there. Buy now. We've got, you know, 20% off, 25. We've got a holiday special. Put it in your stories. Give them a link right there. They already trust you. That's what you do. And then we start talking about your posts. So you have traditionally your normal posts where it's a graphic, or maybe a short moving graphic or a short video. You've got your copywriting that goes with it. And you could typically, you know, put a button on it to, you know, learn more, book more. But this is where you want to put your savable, shareable content, your memes, your quotes, your lists, your stuff like that, that's going to further engage your community. And then lastly, carousels. That's where you get multiple images that people scroll on through, most popular on Instagram. And this is where you nurture and educate your audience. So when you've got
very good.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can put together this list, and I'll post it on our social media channels at Great Scott Social Media, just to be able to reshare to the followers. And, you know, it just gives some direction, because it feels like there's so many different ways to go with it. And you kind of get lost on your intent on each one of these ways to post. So I want to just brush on that today. So, I would happily pass the ball back to you if you have any, you know, experience with any of these, or if you want to hop into your topic,
right? Yeah, I'll go right into my topic. Those are good. And good news is we do have people listening, so that's great. And if somebody is listening and they know a fellow creative entrepreneur, let them know about the show. So I'll throw a plug in for the show before I get into my topic. And my topic is Google Search Labs, and you have to apply for it. Basically, it's really the future of search and AI. It's a combination of it. So I have it connected. If you have a little beaker in the corner of your page, if it's there, then you have you have the labs, and you can click on that and turn it on. And you can actually turn it on in a few areas. You can turn it on in your search. You can turn it on so you can give you code suggestions if you're into coding. And it will also connect to your Google Sheets. And so you can ask the AI to go through your sheets and do all the calculations and give you opinion and analysis. So that's really cool. Now, it did automatically connect with my phone too. So when I ask a question, I get a green box area that actually is the AI answering my questions. And again, it's inside of search. Below that is traditional search, but it also gives you links and it gives you questions. And I've tried a few different things, maybe local businesses as well as just general searches. And so if it's just a general question, it'll just answer that question at the top of the page in that box. If it's deeper or, you know, you're looking for something specific that may, you know, a service or a product, then it'll give you some links within that box as well as the organic below. And I have a feeling it's going to continue to change and adjust, but I have a feeling this is the logical progression. And I think it's certainly where Google wants to go.
Okay.
I mean, quite honestly, because search is where they make the money and the ads. Now, ads, the way this box is set up, ads could be put in there very easily. It could be a sponsored. So in a sense, ads won't go away. We'll answer your question. And if you want, you know, if it's related to a topic, well, then maybe there's one or two immediate, you know, sponsored links or something that you can click on if you need support from a company. So I thought that was interesting. And I've been playing with it, and it's a little bit, you know, it's rough, but it's getting better, and I think they're going to figure it out. So I don't think, people are saying search is going to completely go away. I doubt it immediately. It's going to be transforming over the next few years.
Right.
But it's certainly not going away.
Well, this actually leads perfectly into my question for you.
Sure.
So I love how this works, because I know, we're trying to stay in certain topics. So where do you see the Google experience headed in 1, 2, maybe 5 years? And I think maybe you already answered it with
Over the next year, we'll see that combination, I think,
mm-hmm.
of AI and links.
Right.
It's already been doing that anyway. You know, you ask it, you know, can you convert currency, or, you know, what's the time in this part of the world, or things like that. It just gives you the answer. It doesn't give you a list of websites that you can find the answer. It just gives you the answer for the simple stuff. And so it's going to expand. That part will just expand and hopefully become more practical. We'll have more assistance. We'll be applying, again, a lot. In a way, in theory, if you think of it this way, search could be applied to more things. For example, if it's connected to Google Sheets, well, search in theory could be connected to Google Sheets. You could be just working in Google Sheets. Oh, I wonder, what is the formula for this? It could either tell you, or it could send you a link to mm-hmm. a site that gives you more information, or who can provide a certain service to help me with something. So, you know, it could happen. So in theory, even your toaster could offer you search. So I think it's that's where it's coming. So over the next few years,
yeah.
I mean, to say where we're in 5 years, I wouldn't go there, but I feel pretty confident over the next couple, maybe even 3 years, it's going to be fully implemented in probably more places than you think. But I don't think links to websites are going away. They actually may be more available in more places.
Yeah, more just found more efficiently. And from what it sounds like, our Google experience will kind of be the same, where we go to Google and ask it a question, but we just are going to realize we have so many more questions we can ask it now, and it's going to know how to answer it on the fly.
Right. Yeah. We'll become more dependent on it as our, because AI is literally, you now have a brain that knows everything.
Yep.
That's it. You know, and I've been, I have it hooked up where I can talk back and forth to ChatGPT, and that works out pretty well. There are a few plugins and extensions that allow you to do that, and it's fun. You can go back and forth and ask more questions and go in deeper on topics and so forth. So
amazing. Well, then it really lends well into my next topic. Otherwise, you know, a quote. It's about AI, and it very much is on the optimist side of AI. Mm-hmm. And I like this, and you know, makes me just think of you know the Jetsons and these far advanced civilizations and how we're going to be able to use this technology. So, all right, our intelligence is what makes us human, and AI is an extension of that quality. Artificial intelligence is extending what we can do with our abilities. In this way, it's letting us become more human.
Yeah, I don't know. It can extend our humanness. I think our knowledge. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's a very, very
optimistic. Exactly. It can, because AI can go so many ways, and obviously there are folks who have a total dark view of what it could be. But that's probably based on experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, people will use technology in bad ways. What scares me the most versus AI alone is you've seen things like Boston Dynamics. You know, they're robots. They're dogs. You know, that run. You know, just imagine something on the back of that thing that is AI driven. I mean, how do you fight against that other than with, you know, it can get pretty evil. But right now, let's enjoy what we have right now. And right now we have the extension of our minds to be as creative as we want. There is no excuse. If you wondered how to do something, what to do, what are the next steps, everything, it's available to you right now. And
if it explains it in a way you don't like, you can ask it to explain it in a different way. It's amazing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So I think ultimately, you know, it's right now it's a good thing. It could be a bad thing, but that's up to us.
Right. So. Well, hopefully the good side of human nature prevails. So,
yes.
All right. We'll throw it back to you for your last topic, talking about SEO.
Yeah. So I think one thing when it comes to SEO that works really well is somebody asked me the other day, what do I do? My website's launched. What do I do? And I said, don't stop. Don't stop creating and adding pages to it. It too many people just put a website out there, leave it. And yes, it's valuable, but you want authority. You want topic authority, and you need to build out pages, websites, and blogs are part of that process. But be very specific to local, if you are local, if you provide a local service, the different cities in which you work, develop pages for the different cities, develop individual pages for the different services. I see all too often that people list, you know, their 10 services on one page, or even 5 services, break them out into each page. This is basic SEO. Yeah. However, not a lot of people are doing this. I would often talk to photographers, say, you know, what can I do with my website? Well, is there a hall that you photograph for weddings regularly in? Create a page about that hall. Is there a park? Is there something that's relevant to you that people could see? Oh, there is a photographer that's related to, you know, whatever it may be. It could be, you know, a religious organization. It could be a specific location, anything, or just, again, a few locations in general. So I've been doing that a lot with good success, with actual products as well as services for different clients. And it's been very successful in those pages building out. So, for example, you know, you can we'll use the traditional plumber. You have your plumbing page, but then you have plumbing for different cities, but they all link back to the plumbing page. Well, those internal links focus back at that plumbing page, give more authority and searchability to that original plumbing page. So I think you need to think strategically like that. But if you just remember, what do I do next? Don't stop. That's where you go. So.
Well, and then a couple questions back to you on that. Now, is it just because of the quantity of links that are built into that website that in the eyes of SEO, that website feels and is more robust? Or, you know, why is it that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the number of pages and the links. So Google is really good at de-indexing pages right now. And really, if you think of it, if it looks like people aren't finding value in that page, including the website owner, meaning they're not linking to it, they're not doing anything with it, they're not sharing it, Google's just going to get rid of it because nobody is finding value in it. So we're getting rid of it because, I mean, it's expensive to index every single web page in the entire world, because that's what they don't index websites, they index web pages. And so you have to look at it that way. So they're going to narrow down the number of pages for websites to the ones that are most valuable. And so if you're not linking a number of times to that page beyond maybe even the navigation, then yeah, it very well could more easily get indexed. So yes, authority is built off of links, citations around the web, but internal links are extremely valuable, just as external links are.
And that's something that, you know, you can control in-house. So that's great advice. And I've got one more follow-up question to this.
Yeah.
Have you seen any issues with SEO if people are using AI to write the content that they then put on these pages? You know, is it being flagged as AI content and Google is, you know, restricting it? Have you seen any of that?
No, I haven't. But quality still does matter. And as we talked about in the last show, that a lot of unless you, give the AI really creative instructions, you know, if you say, hey, write about car detailing, it's just going to give you a generic, you know, 8-point thing about car detailing. Good things, but, you know, you've seen it everywhere else too. You know,
car dealing and detailing in Michigan with salt, and, you know, you ask it to be
specific. How do you get salt out of, and then maybe some creative ways to do it, you know, things like that. So those links, though, can be of value. I think some people are thinking, oh, I can write, you know, 100 pages now and put it all over. You know what? That's a lot of work. Because now remember what I just mentioned about the links? Now are you linking them up? Or are you just putting them out there and doing nothing with them? Now you have 100 pages that maybe 10 of them have high value. Maybe you did link, or other people are linking to 10 of them, and the other ones are just going to get de-indexed. So you're better off building a good, yes, you can use AI. We use AI for our writing for SEO, but it's assisted. We look at it as assisted AI. It's great for research. So we may have the foundation, but then our writers go in and then add character and so forth to it. Because remember, back to what we talked about last week, AI is giving you average. What is the most likely next word after the word before? And if you do that, that means the whole thing is just more likely than not to be the next word, which produces the average piece of content. And so you really have to push that and expand that. And I think in collaboration with AI, it's a good way to go. Don't go crazy about it. Be very strategic. Yeah, you're fine. So AI is helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. All right. That's all I have in follow-up. So, yeah.
So, okay. I have my question for you.
Awesome.
So I've been going through with one of my projects, linking up to different social media. Honestly, you gave your ideas about the posts were really good. That was very helpful. But where would you start right now? Where do you think it's most effective? I mean, obviously, it may depend on what type of product. You know, are you very visual? Or are you very educational? So forth. But where are you going first these days at this point when connecting up with, say, a new business to social media for the maybe the biggest bang for their buck or the most punch to kick them off?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I always say the social media foundation is kind of built on the Facebook and Instagram. It can help nearly all business types. Mm-hmm. So we really do start there. We don't focus too much on stories to start because you're not going to have that many followers to start.
Right.
One of the big first steps we always tell all of our clients is, hey, we're going to build this page for you. We're going to get it connected to your personal Facebook. We need your personal network and sphere to give us our first 20, 30, 40 likes to get the ball rolling a little bit. And then we're going to start really heavy with informational posts to nurture the information of the product. And now we're starting to push more into Reels to be able to expand it out. And Yeah, so those are the two main directions. And then once you start getting a following and you start getting people engaged with your content, then you could follow up with some stories and stuff like that. But so.
Now, are you talking pages? Are you talking groups? Are you talking personal pages? What I mean, where are you going? Obviously, Instagram is a little, can be general, but when you talk pure Facebook, where are you looking?
Well, I mean, we're starting a business page, if that's okay. What you're asking.
Yes, and, that's what I was. I wanted to clarify that. Yeah,
and I also make sure that the people who have ownership of the business and they're front facing in the business, they share those first posts in the first month and are pretty good about it, getting in front of their community because those are the people that want them to succeed. They're going to follow their page. They're going to be their cheerleaders, their advocates. So finding some of those cheerleaders at first is also a very important first, steps because it's that nightmare. You get the first month and all the posts go up and there's, almost no interactions or anything like that. It's no, let's find those people that are going to cheer on that business first. So that's typically our first step.
Very good. Excellent. I think we got through all of our topics.
I think we did. We're getting better at this, Rob.
Yeah, that's impressive. All right. Well, if anyone has ideas, of course, you can always catch us because I have a surprise for you. We have creativeentrepreneurshow.com and creativeentrepreneurpodcast.com. It is kind of half up there. However, I'm going to mention it today because I've started the process. If you go there, it'll look like, hey, someone's building a WordPress site. But entrepreneurshow.com.
Wonderful.
For the future. And you can connect with Brian or myself if you're looking for Google information, Rosh Media. And of course, Brian, you'll have your stuff up there. All the ways we can find you if someone's looking for social media support. And of course, if you're just looking for good information, tune back into this show.
And follow, subscribe.
Subscribe, and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Good show. I appreciate your insight.
Thank you. Great show.